Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Tivoli America's Pipeline Building Call, EAM Play. All participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Tim Healy, Director, North America Sales for National. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And good morning, everybody. Appreciate your taking the time to be with us this morning. I think we have some great information to cover. Just a little bit of background on me. I've been an SBE until I took this assignment right at the Pulse timeframe for the past 6 years, 4 in federal, and then the last 2 running the Southwest Business Unit. So certainly my perspective is broad to the software portfolio, and this is my first opportunity to really dive into a particular solution area of the IBM software portfolio. And it really is an exciting area, meaning the Maximo Enterprise Asset Management. And it's interesting that when you look at the solution and you look at the PR that we're currently getting, it's not surprising. For those that were on the all-hands call that was recently held from Bob Picciano, you heard Bob single out the enterprise asset management. From Steve Mills on his quarterly report, I will read his comments, IBM software that serves as a cornerstone of Smarter Planet solutions, especially enterprise asset management, showed excellent traction, a strong demand for customers to improve their physical assets and make them more reliable, efficient, and less costly to maintain, accelerates our ability to improve systems from transportation to engineering. He goes on to say, in addition, recently we announced another initiative with Johnson Controls, a global leader in energy efficiency and sustainable services and technologies, to create a new era of smarter buildings with improved operations, energy usage, and water consumption worldwide. You'll hear more about JCI from Rich Fetcher in a minute. In addition to those comments, Mark Loughridge also talked about and called out the asset management. Let me just read you Mark's comments. Tivoli had an excellent quarter and gained share across all 3 market segments. Within systems management, enterprise asset management, which includes Maximo products, grew double digits. This is a key component of our Smarter Planet strategy. And Bob Picciano called out EAM Maximo and the fact that it grew double digit. It is a hot area of the business, and it is key to Smarter Planet. For those of you that have seen my emails, at the bottom you'll see our logo and motto, which is Maximo is everywhere, and we are at the heart of smart. And it's true. Maximo is all about enterprise asset management, and when you look at it, there are assets everywhere. There is not a single customer across the IBM software portfolio that does not have a need for asset management. So, a couple comments. Maximo, we're already where IBM wants to be. People that have been in software for a while, like myself, almost half of my 28 years in IBM has been in the software side of the business, know that we want to get industry alignment and truly have industry expertise. That's what the Maximo team already is. I am one of the few IBMers on the Maximo team. This is comprised of industry experts that certainly have deep knowledge. We are made up of industry teams. We are not geography aligned. We are aligned by industry. So we have 4 BUEs, Rich Fetcher, who you'll hear from shortly, industrial, Cleo Clark, who you'll also hear from shortly on distribution, Mike Pollitt, BUE for comm sector, and Shannon Ehrman, who's a BUE for public sector. Public sector certainly is one of our hottest sectors. No ifs, ands, or buts. And you might be saying, so all that's good news. Why sell or care about Maximo or enterprise asset management? Because some of you may not get compensated for the entire enterprise asset management portfolio. I fully understand that the Tivoli Enterprise SSRs get credit for components such as service desk, CCMDB, the IT asset manager, energy optimization, et cetera. However, what it provides to us and to you as individuals, and again, my background is mostly CSSRs and the entire software portfolio, but why it's important is because it takes it to the next level. If we can expand customer requirements, whether you're talking about, service management or automation or even storage or security or or any part portal, if we can expand it beyond the IT assets and into the enterprise view, we are differentiating ourselves from the competition, particularly HP and BMC, BMC with the remedy solution. They just cannot go there. They do not have the ability to have a complex work environment. And when you look at, you know, the Gartner reports and stuff, nobody is in the magic quadrant, as the saying goes, more so than us. EAM is hot. In 1Q, we grew 24% year-to-year growth. I think we'll do even better in the current quarter. So with that, let me just kind of give you a more what I would call aha reasons why you should care. Some of the different success stories we've had. As I said, my 10-year in IBM, I have been involved in a lot of software selling, and I know how tough it is to have true ROIs or BVAs or whatever the current term is as far as why the customer should have a compelling reason to act and have a good return on their investment. You're going to hear about some of those success stories, but let me just hit on a couple of them now, and they're just pure bullets to just kind of wet the whistle. U.S. Navy. U.S. Navy, with one instance of Maximo, retired over 200 applications. They're running 100,000 or handling 100,000 buildings across the world. Again, out of one instance of Maximo at the Navy base based in California. Fantastic example of ROI. A utility, Detroit Energy. They retired over 250 applications and systems. They literally, their own accounting organization, went back and audited them last year to validate the savings, and they validated over $75 million in savings by the implementation of Maximo that began in 2008 by reducing hardware, by reducing headcount, by reducing services. Another example, TVA. The largest public power utility. Maximo enabled them to retire 70 legacy applications and systems. This is a utility that has 9 million customers in 7 states, supplying 158 local distributors. So you can imagine, complex, but yet great ROI. But that's just another example. And we could go on and on talking about examples like this. L.A. County, to give you a state and local, it grew like weeds. It went into the sheriff's department initially. Now it's basically we own L.A. County. Whether it's the sheriff's department, the water, the parks, the fire, the K-12, it has spread. And I will tell you from a standpoint of spreading, it can offer great opportunities to piggyback and to enhance and grow the opportunity. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Pete Carnes, who is the program director for Maximo Industry Solutions. Pete reports to Bill Sawyer, who is our general manager. But really what's important about Pete is that he has worldwide responsibility for executing and growing our industry solutions programs for Maximo, as well as he's been with Maximo since the late 90s. He joined IBM with the acquisition of MRO in 4Q of 2006. And he's an example where I go back to my earlier statement that I'm one of the few IBMers in this, you know, truly industry expertise and industry-aligned team. So with that, Pete.
Thanks, Tim. Good day, everybody, and thanks for joining the call. What I'd like to do really is help you internalize a little bit what Tim just took you through in terms of the potential for you to use asset management to differentiate your offerings that you're bringing to your clients and really help IBM identify new ways to help our clients be successful. I'll go back to the title of the presentation, driving measurable business outcomes. That's what our clients are looking for, you know, while differentiating against some key competitors. So our goal here, if you just flip through the objectives and the agenda on slide 2, is to give you some talking points and some things to think about, again, with regards to, you know, how can we help clients and, you know, how can I leverage asset management in my sales strategy to drive, you know, a security deal for Smart Grid, or maybe we're chasing a smarter products opportunity in automotive or service assurance opportunity with telco. Asset management can play a role in those opportunities and many more, which we'll get to. So we want to talk a little about how and why. So let's switch to slide 3. So in terms of the why, it's efficiencies, it's dollars, it's savings. This is not new news. We've known for some time, for the better part of 2 years, we've been talking a lot about, we meaning IBM and in the industry as a whole, have been talking with our clients a lot about ways to help them save on operational expenditures and ways to help them identify means to either reduce or become more pragmatic with capital expenditures. This is bread and butter for asset management. And if you look at some of the numbers here on the right-hand side, these are some typical points that our customers will drive towards with an asset management solution. So a good example here might be something like warranty recoveries for a transportation organization, say someone that uses vehicles to transmit or distribute goods from a manufacturing plant to a distribution warehouse. You know, those warranty recoveries on those vehicles, that in essence can be free monies for these folks. And when you're talking 10 to sometimes 40-50%, you can be putting numbers here in the millions of dollars pretty quickly for even a mid-sized organization. On the left-hand side, you see some, this is actual numbers from a BVA that was recently done in terms of potential benefits. And again, what you're seeing here, line of business benefits, efficiencies that save operational expenditures that folks can then either drop to their bottom line, some companies want to do, but also potentially invest for growth or invest for ways to differentiate their company against their competition. And I will add, I think we're starting to see that over the past couple of quarters, more and more clients looking for ways to fund growth, whether it's a refinery, automotive, believe it or not. Even I'm down here in Austin, Texas today meeting with a local state university who's preparing for a major growth initiative. That might sound funny given the state budget issues, but that's what they're trying to do. We need to help them find ways to save money. So the way we do that, if we switch to slide 4, is to look at their infrastructure. Now, historically, and even currently, most of our clients take a very siloed approach to managing what they have. They have their vehicles. They do that. They have their communications infrastructure. Well, that's separate. They certainly have their technology infrastructure in their data centers. Well, that's separate. But the reality is going against that. The reality is the technology is everywhere. We know that. That's the Smarter Planet story. And while that's reality, if you think about how customers are managing that infrastructure, a lot of them haven't made the leap yet to invest in solutions and business processes to take advantage of that. We still have many clients that are managing mobility infrastructure or production infrastructure that is just loaded with technology, software, firmware, hardware. They have no change management understanding of software that's on the robot, as an example. So what we're getting to here is that Tim talked about this. Certainly there's quote-unquote EAM opportunities out there for the business, and that's driving revenue. But there's a bigger picture here. There's a broader story that dovetails really in with Smarter Planet that says, you know, assets enable and support the business of the world. Whether you're a commercial entity or a public agency, you rely on a system of assets to drive services that either generate revenue or provide some type of constituent service. Those assets are increasingly interconnected, right? We know the story. They're increasingly networked, monitored, et cetera. That creates some management challenges for companies. Now, this is where IBM comes in. We are unique in the marketplace, per Tim's point, in our ability to manage the entire breadth of the infrastructure. HP can come in and talk to a university about IT this and data center, but what about the facility folks that manage actually, well, the shell of the data center and the rest of the university and the physical plant that's on the university, as an example? So, and conversely, somebody like Oracle that's coming in with a smart grid story and they have some asset management and a little bit of security and a whole bunch of other stuff, but they really can't get into, so the technology aspects of the IT infrastructure, the IT assets, the meters, and certainly not when we get into things such as the monitoring of the network and some other aspects of the portfolio that IBM has. So my point is this. There are ways in which IBM is very unique in our ability to help our clients solve the challenges that they have in front of them via technology becoming more pervasive. We are unique in our ability, we meaning IBM, ability to do that. The primary reason there is the breadth of the asset management portfolio. So as Tim highlighted there, Steve Mills made some commentary. There's a link to that release there on the bottom of the page. But I think it says it well. Right, strong demand from customers to improve the physical assets, make them more reliable, efficient, less costly, less cost to maintain, accelerates our ability to improve systems. Let's keep that in mind here as we switch to slide 5. We talk about improving systems. This is really smarter planet, right? Not just IT, it's not just enterprise assets, it's sort of the worlds that are converging. And with Smarter Planet, we have a messaging portfolio, sort of a platform to talk to our customers about how. And that how, which, by the way, we talked a lot about in a January webcast, which is a link to on the bottom of the page, dives into those specific industry-based solution stacks, as outlined on slide 6 here, has some of them, that takes the concepts of Smarter Planet, looks around the IBM portfolio and puts that solution that we have in the context of the industry, smarter buildings, smarter oil, smarter telecom, et cetera, talks to our clients about, you know, Mr. Wireless Operator, let us talk to you about what we can do for you in terms of service assurance, help you become more reliable, improve your service, reduce your risk, et cetera. That's what it's all about. Yeah, and I'd encourage you to go back to that January webcast. So before we move on to some of the business value stories that we're going to cover here for the balance of the call, I'd ask you to think about on slide 7, as you look into your customers, what kind of assets do those customers rely on a daily basis, underpin services that generate revenue, that support mission readiness, provide constituent services, whatever the business goal of that entity is, what do they rely on in their daily operations to do that? And once we know what they rely on, it is absolutely going to be a mix of physical assets, enterprise assets, and IT assets. What is our story? What is IBM's story to help those clients manage that infrastructure? Not just the physical assets, not just the IT assets, because we know those worlds are converging. What is our story to help them knock down those barriers that exist, identify those new areas of efficiency, help them save money, help them fund their growth? It starts with what we see here on slide 7. What do these clients rely on? So I challenge everyone here, as you look at your clients and as you're planning out the balance of your year and pipe for 2011, where do our clients need some help? And we're going to talk at the end of the call about some key questions and some folks you can talk to potentially uncover some latent pain in these areas. So at the end of the day, for commercial organizations, it's all about shareholder value. As we know, for public agencies, it's all about their constituent service, mission readiness, or whatever their specific mission is. But if we think about, again, asset management playing into the overall value of the organization, the value that it creates for itself and its shareholders or its constituents, it kind of gets into a couple of different areas. And again, we're going to go through a bunch of examples here over the next 15 to 20 minutes that illustrate these points. The first is risk and compliance management. That's a reality for most of the industries we serve. A lot of this is about cost avoidance, avoiding costly fines, but frankly, the operational control that comes with good compliance management often leads to better profitability. We talk a lot about operational excellence, improving my production line from 80% reliable to 90%. What can that mean for the output of the organization in terms of not only increased production, but better quality? What does that mean for the top and the bottom line? Talk about agility. World's not standing still. We have the unique opportunity, and Tim gave a great example with the U.S. Navy about how standardization provides agility to grow and to respond to different challenges. Standardization comes in forms of business processes. It certainly comes in the form of data, but it also comes in the form of, well, I'm relying on my infrastructure as a business. I should have a consistent view of that infrastructure and a consistent way to manage it. I shouldn't have, you know, one view and one approach for my vehicles and one view and one approach for my physical plant and so on and so forth. That kind of inefficiency might have worked 10 years ago. It doesn't work now. We're unique in our ability to help our customers solve that problem. Talk about alignment in terms of operations, line of business, and IT. Again, they're working together. They need optics into each other's business. And then consolidation. So, again, we're going to hit some stories on that. So just to quickly summarize before we move forward, the role of asset management is pretty straightforward. Regardless of the industry we serve, it's about improving service, reducing costs, which might also now be called funding growth, and managing risk. And very simply, we do this in four ways. We manage that infrastructure, all those assets, whether it's one entry point, one type of asset getting into an account, or the entire infrastructure, manage it throughout the life cycle. Okay? We have the unique capability in the marketplace of being able to manage all of those assets. Again, why is that important? Because IT technology is everywhere. If you're taking a classic industrial approach to managing technology, it is not going to work. Conversely, if you're taking a technology-based approach that doesn't take into account some of the risk-based characteristics of what we know about in the physical world, that's not going to work. This is where we can just pin HP, Oracle, BMC to the wall, is by changing the box in which we compete to make all infrastructure, all assets matter. This leads to the third point, which is converged assets, is historically physical or unintelligent assets are connected, have software on them, firmware, et cetera, that create some opportunities but also management challenges. And then finally, and we know this all too well, customers expect us to not only talk to them in the context of their industry, but to provide solutions that understand any nuances that might exist, albeit operational, regulatory, et cetera. That's something IBM and the Maximo business does well. That's the role of asset management here. And what we're going to do now as we shift to slide 10 is talk through some examples. So I'd like to start this by talking about a client, DC Water and Sewer Authority. Now, this is a client that's been a Maximo client for some time. They've embarked on a very interesting first-of-a-kind project working with IBM, with Software Group, GBS, and others. And if you think about this infrastructure, for those that have been to D.C., D.C. was built in the 1800s, which means a lot of their pipes, their water distribution, their sewer collection was built in the 1800s. So you can imagine the challenge of maintaining that infrastructure and the capital expenditures and the planning to go along with that. But like in telecommunications, like in utilities, like in other industries, their service delivery is extremely important. The trust and the confidence the customers have in them as an organization is super important to the executives that run DC WASA. And they had some issues. And they had some issues in large part due to their approach to how they were managing their infrastructure. So there's a great story in government technology that you can click on that top box here where it says click here to read that story. But the long and the short of it is they knew they had to invest in a proven solution. They invested in Maximo, they continued to work with IBM, and they have really taken a big step to link up their line of business, so the folks out installing meters and doing that project work under the street, and link them up and partner them with IT to create business value. And that's really a key point here is the linkage, that organizational linkage that was enabled because of the technology that we provide to give them that sort of comprehensive view. We switch to slide 11, just a couple of business outcomes that they've experienced. Again, if you can think about yourself in the context of your home and you're ready to move and you need someone to come turn off the water, but they're not there, or you have a leak and you've called four times and nobody's there, right? You can imagine the rapidness, if you will, in which they can have customer service issues, which can lead to political issues, et cetera. So we talk about, for example, since implementing on the bottom left here, since implementing Teams Maximo along with their improved business processes, their emergency investigation, their basically their ability to meet their dispatch goal and response times, their commitments to their clients, e.g. their service levels, improved from 49% to 93%, and the response times from 59 to 94. That's tremendous. That's a palpable impact on their business, not just, excuse me, from a customer sat perspective, which is real, but if you think about every time they roll a truck, that costs them money. Well, if they're now that much more efficient in where they roll a truck to, they're going to save a lot of money, which has come true here. Another example just on the sustainability. As they've become more efficient, they've reduced their vehicle fleet by 20 vehicles. So there's a capital savings there as well as an operational savings. And, frankly, there's a green element too. So you can read through the different examples here, but this is just one example of one customer that's applying what we have to their business, working with IBM to create very sustainable, very impressive business value. And this customer actually loves to talk about their story. All this data that I'm giving you is from a presentation that their CIO gave at Pulse 2010. And note I said their CIO. I didn't say the VP operations or somebody on the business side. I said their CIO. And why that's unique is that the CIO is partnered with the business, again, to provide the technology, partnering with the business to drive these results. And again, that's where we can help Team IBM differentiate by helping organizations bridge that gap between IT and the line of business. So before I turn the floor over to Rich Fetcher to talk about some examples, I'd like to make one final, relatively blatant point, and that is, with asset management, we can help you win. Whether you're competing, again, some of the examples I gave earlier, it's a security opportunity on the smart grid, and you're competing with some folks. Work asset management, work the infrastructure into the conversation. Might not be that relevant right now, but the customer should understand the strategy, so long-term they understand IBM's vision and how it all ties together. Same thing with automotive. If you're working with an automotive supplier, we all know the amount of software and technology that's in vehicles now and the whole smarter product story. Well, there's an infrastructure manager. There's an asset management aspect of that, too, about how with asset management we can learn sort of how things are performing once they're in the field and maybe close that loop back with the design teams, right? Strategic element. We can help the teams differentiate against any competition. So with that, Rich, I'd like to turn the floor to you to talk through some of the industrial sector business value outcomes.
Okay, Pete. Thanks. Appreciate it. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for attending the call. I know everyone's busy. As Tim mentioned, I'm part of the Maximo team that focuses on the industrial sector. And on the next three slides, I'll review some of our recent successes. The first two slides, we provide some basic points, if you will, on why companies invest or continue to invest in Maximo. And the third slide will provide a bit more detail on a large win we had in Q4 at Baker Hughes. I just want to note that when I mention the dollar figures associated, I'm not only talking about the period revenue, but I'm also talking about the S&S, just so you have an understanding of the amount of money companies are investing in Maximo. So if we go to the first slide, we have BP and JCI. BP was a $1.5 million win by Mark Sigalski and the team in March. And as many of you know, BP is one of the largest petroleum companies in the world. And I believe they're Maximo's largest company customer, if not the largest. They've been a customer since the 90s, and the majority of the users are in their exploration and production division. In addition, three of the five U.S.-based refineries use Maximo, and all three currently use Maximo 4, which is a sunsetted version, and they're on extended support currently. And for a majority of reasons, including business and operational compliance, they needed to do a conversion to a more current software platform. There was a fair amount of pressure from corporate, both IT and finance, to move to SAP. SAP is the preferred platform for BP to rationalize or consolidate most applications. And as you become more experienced with Maximo, you'll find it's hard to take it away from operations once it's in. So we supported the three refineries for approximately 18 months to help them build the business case. So a few benefits worth noting. I have three. Number one is, with confidence, BP refineries knew that in addition to the preferred solution by operations for its usability and functionality, that Maximo also was the quickest route to implementing a more current software platform for asset management. That was to get to their business compliance of getting a supported platform as opposed to an unsupported platform. The second point is that based on our web platform and multi-site, multi-org capabilities, during this analysis, the three refineries will now share a common instance of Maximo. So they're going to reduce their infrastructure cost and enables them to share best practices across the three refineries. And the last thing was that during our campaign, BP was adamant about Maximo base product only for what they reviewed as a technical upgrade. And there was a lot of reasons, including political, for that decision. But throughout the campaign, you know, with significant help from GBS, we stressed the importance of our oil and gas industry solution, which they eventually decided to include in the March order. And what was of interest to us is that we met last week with BP, and they're very pleased to have made that decision. And the primary reason is something that Pete alluded to earlier. It's that it's helping them eliminate other applications, consolidate in Maximo, which ultimately means they can get up and running in less cost and in less time to implement. I'm going to talk about the second existing customer that's invested in Maximo, and that's JCI, Johnson Controls. I'm going to talk about two different opportunities, one that we won in February of 2009 and one that we just won in March. So they're about a $30 billion diversified manufacturing and service company with three divisions. They have an automotive experience division, interior for cars really is what they do, building efficiencies, which is facilities management, and power solutions, which primarily is a manufacturer of batteries. And Maximo has presence in all three divisions, but I'm going to highlight two recent wins in the building efficiency group. So the first win was for $2.7 million last February by Rod Mosley. JCI has been a Maximo customer like BP since the mid-90s. Maximo plays a key role to their building or facilities customers worldwide to track things like work orders. Our current version of Maximo is 7, and currently JCI has approximately 80 single instances of versions 3, 4, 5, and 6 around the world. So you can imagine the time and resources required to support. So Maximo is going to enable JCI to consolidate these instances to a single instance at their corporate headquarters in Wisconsin. They'll take advantage of new capabilities for work orders, for facilities management, while consolidating things like infrastructure, reducing costs, improving efficiencies, and also important to them, reducing the number of S&S invoices from IBM. So in addition to base Maximo, JCI also invested in our service provider module. And service providers designed specifically for customers to use Maximo as part of their service offering. And the functionality of service providers for things like billing will help JCI to improve the quality and efficiency they provide to their clients. It's important to note that during the internal justification to executive management to upgrade or consolidate the Maximo 7 and service provider, it was positioned as a critical application and providing JCI a competitive advantage in their marketplace. And as Pete delivered a more frank message, the message they delivered to their executive managers were that if they didn't do it, we'll go out of business. That's how important they think Maximo is to the overall service offering they provide to their customers. So I'm going to talk about a second win we had last month for $1 million with JCI. This win was led by Rick Scanron and our OEM team. It's an extension of my last point from JCI win, that Maximo is providing JCI with a competitive advantage in the marketplace. This win is the first step of an IBM-JCI partnership which leverages our respective strengths, presence, and contacts in the business community. This is a Smarter Planet partnership that leverages JCI's expertise on energy and buildings, and our company's expertise in IT, process, and integration. The partnership was first announced at Pulse in February, as many of you know, and the interest internally and from potential clients has exceeded expectations. In fact, I think it's far exceeded expectations. It just talks about the messaging we're doing as a company with Smarter Planet, a need for smarter buildings, smarter planets, and a greener planet. And in the coming months, we'll be providing additional information and sales enablement. For now, inquiries should be forwarded to Kathy Heinrich on the sell with efforts, but also feel free to reach out to Rick Scanron, to Mike Metz from my team, or me if you'd like additional information. If we can move to the next slide, please. This is regarding three new clients. So the first one is Northrop Grumman. We've been doing business with Northrop Grumman for a while, but our relationship with the technical services group is relatively new. So as many of you know, Northrop is one of the largest A&D companies in the world. And Russ Anderton manages the A&D vertical for our company and focuses most of his efforts on aftermarket services and sustainability. The technical services group is a relatively new organization, and like JCI, Maximo plays an important role in the service Northrop provides to their clients. In a majority of cases, in preparing a competitive bid proposal, technical services includes Maximo. So for this particular project, Northrop is retrofitting or refurbishing a fleet of aircrafts, and it includes a service contract for a specified period of time. I believe it's 5 years. It includes base Maximo, Maximo for service provider, asset configuration manager, which we also refer to as ACM, and we'll mention that later in another deal. And ACM allows Northrop and their clients to track the changes made, and this is a compliance regulation. And as of 2009, we've received two orders for just under $500,000 associated with just this one project. The next opportunity or recent win is SunCoke Energy. It's a win by Emmett Cook. And since 2009, we've received two orders for about $600,000. SunCoke is a division of Sunoco, and Sunoco has coal mining operations and manufacturing plants that produce coke for steel or for steel makers. Our initial engagement is with SunCoke's manufacturing plants. Currently, we're working with three of the five manufacturing plants. This one is an interesting one because they were in the dark ages with respect to technologies. They were behind the times managing their operations. They basically were starting from scratch. They're using base Maximo to manage their production of assets and operations. This includes defining and documenting best practices for asset management, and it includes workflow, work order management, and the entire supply chain. And I know that once this engagement's over for the first three plants, we're moving on to the two. And we believe we also have another opportunity with the parent company of Sunoco, which is using one of our older competitors' products. The last one I'll talk about before I move on to the final slide is Timken. And this is a win by Cleo Clark's team that we inherited in FY09, and it's a million-dollar win by Derek Darkowski. So Timken's a $5 billion-plus manufacturer of alloy steel and ball bearings. They rolled out Maximo to 800 users in February for their alloy steel operations. The manufacturing solution we replaced had lacked some flexibility for making changes, and it was difficult to access information to help manage their operations. And similar to SunCoke win, Maximo is helping Timken to establish best practices. I chose Timken to provide you with a traditional manufacturer reference and to highlight our ERP collaboration. And I know that that might sound strange to some of you, and I know that we talk about in this deck that it's here to help about how we're going to compete with HP, BMC, Oracle, but a lot of references I use here about SAP. It's difficult for us to get in a competitive situation where we just check the boxes. So Timken uses SAP for their financials and considered SAP for the project. And we do encounter SAP and Oracle often in the selling efforts, but it's not a competitive replacement to an ERP or financial system. Maximo is a collaborative solution, and we provide all the necessary tools to integrate to a company's financial application. We position Maximo as a rational suite of applications for managing a company's critical assets. So just like you would want to combine all of your HR under PeopleSoft, all of your financial applications under SAP or Oracle, we do the same for assets. We manage it from the time you plan an asset to the time you retire an asset. And as I mentioned during my BP discussion, based on usability and functionality, we fare well in the majority of these evaluations or comparisons. So let's move on to the next slide. This slide you've probably seen before, I think, in a similar quarterly review of Tivoli Pipeline for EAM. We talked about Baker Energy. I think it's laid out well to talk about the anatomy of the sale, but I'll just comment on a few points, and then I'll turn it over to Cleo. So Baker Energy was a $6.7 million win by Rod Mosley and Bill Ely. Bill Ely's on Pete's team, and he's our worldwide leader for oil and gas. So let me just walk through a couple of bullets here. Number one is that they're an oil field services company. They manufacture drilling equipment to leading E&P companies, companies like BP and Chevron, which happen to be Maximo customers as well. I referenced that the number of employees is 40,000 and $12 billion in revenue, but they've had a recent acquisition of BJ Services, one of their larger competitors, so they're probably close to about 50 or 55,000 employees and about $17 billion in terms of revenue. From a business issues perspective, they're a company going under a lot of business transformation, new executive management within the past 3 years, changing the company from loosely coupled divisions to a homogeneous company, focus on leveraging best practices amongst all their divisions and leveraging the economy as the scales, with a big emphasis on improving the quality of their products and services. Competitive industry, as you can imagine, they're the third largest oil field services company, behind only Schlumberger and Halliburton. They had designed their own asset management system. It's a robust feature-rich system called MAPS. When our team took a look at it, they were very impressed with this homegrown solution. Again, if you look at the client value section just below, the new CIO, who's been for about a year and he's helping with the transformation of the company, made it clear that they can't be in the software business. They need to focus on quality products and the delivery of quality service. So the quality service they deliver is a value add to their clients, which is the guaranteed drilling services. And the financial impact for non-performing assets at a customer site is significant to Baker Hughes and its clients. Loss of production for day could be measured in the millions of dollars. So it's not that BP or Chevron cares whether or not they can get a charge back or a penalty from BHI. What they really care about is making sure that the assets are running all the time as planned. So this requires that BP provide equipment that's reliable and that the data they have to maintain those assets is good, so that they have the right information before and while those assets are in operations. In addition, tying it back into smarter assets and smarter planets, the vision of the CIO is smarter equipment or smarter assets. That is that he wants to be able to have links between his equipment in the field at customer sites to Maximo to identify potential services required while the assets are in production. I mentioned briefly they had an in-house software package called MAPS. They considered staying with the in-house application, but after the initial demo of Maximo and our industry solutions, we had the full support of the lead executive who was responsible for MAPS. It was his baby, but he saw the value of replacing MAPS for Maximo, and he supported the CIO and helped secure support of the businesses for the eventual funding. And like many of our opportunities, it involved ERP or financials. In this particular case, it involved SAP. SAP was under consideration and highly recommended by the existing IT team. Even though the CIO wanted it, they still were very passionate about SAP. And then I'll just wrap this up with just a couple of highlights from the sales cycle. Number one is it's about what Pete spoke before about leveraging a coach. So it's good to have operational sponsorship. In fact, it's very important. And we require strong sponsorship from operations to influence or dictate to IT. But in the sample that that Pete had just mentioned to you, it's a very good thing if we can find an operationally focused CIO. And that's what we had there. The CIO is operationally focused. He's experienced with Maximo and knew it was the right solution. He's a former CIO at GM, which uses Maximo, and he and his team were very aggressive in driving the benefits home. And we had a similar situation at One Oak based in Tulsa in FY08, where the CIO worked with the businesses to justify Maximo and why it was best, not only from an IT perspective, but more importantly from an operational perspective. And as a result that we had the right sponsorship, we had a relatively short sales cycle for transaction of the size. It went for about 8 or 9 months from February of 2009 to close on October 1st. I'm going to combine the next couple of bullets of focus, proof of concept, and differentiation. And regarding those, As I mentioned, the CIO is leading the IT to aid the transformation of Baker Hughes. He wants to improve product quality and back it up with guaranteed drilling services. They accomplish this by using Maximo for the best of breed. We eliminate the majority of their in-house development. We consolidate applications to reduce their cost of ownership. And most importantly, we improve the reliability of their assets and service to their customers. This one involved many different industry solutions. In addition to base Maximo, it was our oil and gas industry solution and the asset configuration or ACM product I mentioned earlier. In regards to POCs, we don't do POCs per se. We prefer demonstrations. And we had a team of SEs and a lab services professional help us manage the project to configure Maximo to the requirements of Baker Hughes, primarily based on what they knew of maps or from maps. They were very impressed with the results that we provided and the length of time it was to deliver. Please note, this work was done by our systems engineers, not by developers. And it was important that we position this as a configuration tool, not as customization. So we do have the ability to, if you will, position Maximo as a very flexible developmental platform. So where are we right now with Baker Hughes? The CIO believes in small victories. He's not waiting 5 years to roll out a monolithic solution to his users. He's already rolled out 3 different applications to pockets within BHI. Again, he believes in small victories, and I think he's pleased thus far with the progress that we've made. In addition, we're very aggressive in working with BHI. You know, Maximo throughout the world is very well represented in upstream, midstream, and downstream. And we believe that this win positions us for a new market within the oil and gas, which is the oil field services market. And BHI is already taking an active lead in our industry advisory council, our user groups, industry solutions. And I'll close with a commercial, and that is that this Thursday, which is April 28th, we're doing a webinar, which I believe about 200 people are registered on so far. And the theme is ERP collaboration, and it's about application rationalization. And we're doing this in conjunction with a publication called World Oil, which is primarily focused on E&P, or exploration and production. And this is going to be led by Bill Ely, and one of our lead supporters from BHI will participate. So if you'd like any more information regarding this seminar or webinar on Thursday, or like any additional information, or, if you will, talking points about how we could get into some of your opportunities or some of your accounts, by all means, don't hesitate to call me. And with that, I'll flip this over to Cleo.
Thanks, Rich. Good morning, everyone. We are on slide 16, and it looks like we're running short on time. So I'm going to make this very quick, probably faster than you can imagine. And if anyone has any questions, please feel free to reach out to me and give me a call. I'll be happy to talk a little bit more about any one of these customers. But I'd like to cover 3 key Maximo customers in the distribution area. Again, I'm going to do it very quickly. PTX is the leading provider of rail cars and has a fleet greater than 210,000. Its maintenance operations are supported by more than 30 rail yards. TTX needed help with their maintenance planning and scheduling. They were losing significant revenue because they did not have any computerized systems for maintaining their assets. After many meetings with executives, a very successful visit to Pulse, and I can't stress that enough, Pulse really helped us tremendously, and a competitive win over SAP, the team was able to show TTX how going with Maximo would save them money, improve their efficiency, and, again, increase the life of their assets. The deal ended up closing in Q1 with combined services and software revenue of $1.7 million, and that's just the first phase. We expect much more to come, which is great. The contributions of the GBS team, the client exec, the coverage rep, the Maximo team was an outstanding example of true teamwork and really what we're trying to stress in any of these examples that we've brought up. In addition, because of these relationships that we've established, in particular with the CIO, we've got many more opportunities now for TSRM and TAMIT, for instance. Now, on to Unico. Unico delivers facilities maintenance services and is one of the largest maintenance providers in North America. They wanted to partner with someone who would provide a solution that was right for their type of business as a service provider, and they wanted us to provide a solution that would help them to be able to predict and control their operating expenses, very similar to JCI's business. Unico decided to go with Maximo for service provider as a standard for all of their customers, and not only did Maximo give Unico the flexibility they needed, but Unico felt that it gave them a competitive edge, which was, again, extremely important to them, too. If you go to the next slide, slide 17, the final customer that we're going to talk about today is Amtrak. And as everyone knows, Amtrak provides intercity passenger rail service. They needed to be able to proactively, not reactively, manage maintenance of its tracks, railroad structure, signals, buildings, even bridges. It needed maintenance to be proactive because, as you can imagine, with Amtrak, safety and risk management are extremely important to them. With Maximo, they have immediate access to information they need to correct any rail system problems. They're a perfect example of a very happy Maximo customer who will tell anyone who asks that Maximo is critical to their business. Though we closed the initial deal a few years back, this customer, very similar to Timken, continued to expand their use of Maximo, and because of this, we closed the deal just under $1 million in December, another $200K deal in Q1, and we're hoping to close another large deal with them in Q4. So I'm going to wrap up. I'd like to stress in all three examples, we were able to establish strong executive relationships with the IT side of the business, and these relationships should help us and everyone on this phone call to get additional solutions into these accounts. And that's it for me. Peace. Back to you.
Thank you, Cleo. Thank you, Rich, and thanks for sharing those stories. And just two quick key points off those. I think you heard, A, stories from different industries, and then, B, you heard a lot of different value outcomes that relate to both IT-oriented value as well as line-of-business-oriented value, again, from that same solution stack. Now, what that illustrates very quickly here on slide 18 is that there's a lot of different entry points. There's a lot of people to talk to in accounts to uncover opportunities and then to work a strategic sales cycle sort of, you know, build that consensus. Is also a way to pivot off existing implementations to cross-sell and upsell, which is a lot of what you heard from Rich and Cleo. So slide 18 depicts who a lot of these people are that you can talk to, and then slide 19 is just a subset of some questions you might become familiar with. You might ask these clients to understand, you know, just where they are. And in these conversations, which, by the way, are often done very nicely via a whiteboard or some other means, you get customers talking, you can uncover some opportunities, particularly if you have those conversations about needed efficiencies. So with that, I'd like to wrap up slide 20 here. Just as a recap, you can page through on how sort of recaps what we've talked about and how asset management enables client ROI. Again, those four key points we talked about earlier. And just in terms of a call to action, hopefully you have some good talking points in your head and you understand how asset management can help you win, can help you differentiate, paint that strategic picture for a client. There's links there in the top section, four different links to different types of content, different presentations from Pulse, et cetera. Again, manage the pipeline, right? On Target, iProfile, Jigsaw, just go after it. And then engage the team you heard on this call, Tim Healy, Tim's direct staff, the BUEs, myself. You know, we're here to work with you to drive these deals, to uncover these deals. And on slide 22, just note the key marketing activities that many of your clients with both active pain or latent may be interested in attending some of these, like the World Oil webcasts Rich mentioned. So with that, appreciate everyone's attention through the balance of this call. I know we're running short on time, but I can certainly stay on the line for questions. So, Pat, if we could begin to open the queue, that'd be great.
Certainly. Thank you, sir.
If I could, while Pat's opening the queue, Pat, you let me know after you do that part. I'll make a few comments while you're opening the queue.
Okay, thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, press star 2. And, sir, you may go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, while Pat's doing that, let me just a couple comments. First off, Thank you for the time. Really do appreciate it. The second piece is, as I said earlier, this is my first assignment into a particular area of the business or a brand specific versus having more global. And I will tell you, it's really exciting, the solution we have, and more importantly, the fact that no matter what customer you're in, no matter what industry or what sector or what part of software that you're selling, our customers have requirement for asset management. And when we talk about asset management, it's not just assets management or Maximo software. We have solutions that are coming out that are including real-time asset locator that are dragging other solutions with it, whether it's our iLog or Optimum or FileNet or Cognos. So there is a lot of drag that comes along with it. And the next comment I'll add is that you heard some great success stories. Those success stories are not just sales efforts where we hit and ran. We have a 775, let me repeat that, 775 person dedicated GBS practice dedicated to Maximo, 775 people, as well as in ATG there's a team and software group that, so there's plenty of gurus to implement this stuff to ensure its success and to roll out. So there's a lot of services drag that also comes with these things. So from, as Rich pointed out, we manage assets from procurement to retirement, and assets are everywhere. So it really is an exciting part of the business, and I appreciate your support.
And I'm showing no questions at this time, but again, please press star 1 for any questions.
Well, if there's no questions, let me just as to go to Pete's comment. Instead of having to remember all the different folks and where they are, certainly Tim Healy, you can come to me, look in blue pages. You can see the organization, the BUEs underneath are listed in there by sector, and we can certainly direct you to who the right individual is to help you generate prospecting or OI or things of that nature. Pete, I'll let you wrap it up if there's nothing else.
I think we're good. Thanks for closing. Pat, are there any questions?
I'm showing no questions. No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Well, again, thank you all for joining the call or for listening to this recording. Have a good day, and here's to your success in Q2. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.